room for people as they come in. Just Stephen says that's not funny. Yes, it is. What's that?
Raise your hand if there's any seats.
Raise your hands if any seats near you. Yeah. Hey, does anybody know there's a Seahawks playoff this morning? Yeah. 10 a.m.? Yeah. Who wants to know the score? What's the score? We're losing. What's the score, though? 3-0. Okay, that's not losing. That's like just the game opening up. Okay. Can we get a more optimistic person telling us the score? Okay. Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift your heads, you gates. Be lifted, you ancient doors, so that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord heroic in battle. Lift your heads, you gates. Be lifted, you ancient doors, so that the King of glory may come in. Who then is this King of glory? The Lord of armies is the King of glory. Selah. So this morning, you guys have an opportunity as gates, as doors for the Lord to come in here. And as we lift our heads and we lift our hearts, we, you know, worship him in spirit and in truth, he will come in and he will inhabit this place. Doesn't take 500. It only takes one to turn their hearts towards the Lord. So Father, we come before you today, Lord, and we lift our heads to you, Lord. We lift our hearts to you, Lord. We lift our lives to you, Lord. And we give you glory, and we give you praise, and we give you honor. And we ask, Lord, that as your word promises, that you would come in. Lord, that your presence would be made known to us. We know you're here, Lord, and we know that you abide with us. But, Lord, we pray that there be a manifestation, a realization, Lord, of your presence today. God, that our lives would not be the same when we leave, Lord, because we've spent time with you. I just ask you, Lord, to bless every person, God, that wasn't able to be here today for whatever reason. God, I pray that your hand would be upon them, hands of protection, Lord, for those who are traveling. Lord, for those who have to work, Lord, pray, God, that you just let your presence be with them today. And for those of us here, Lord, I pray, God, that we would turn our eyes towards you. We would leave the distractions, Lord, of life, Lord, and enter into your kingdom realm today. In Jesus' name, one more thing. Amen. We have family communion today. So wait till we get ready to take communion. And let's roll.
but not forsaken. I've been set free. I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Take our failure.
You take our failures. You take our weakness. You set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord. I'll be your vessel. The world to see your life.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. I can see.
Jesus, we love you.
see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you,
Jesus. We love you, we can't get enough. All this is for
to my something a little different. Done it a couple of times, but since we're such a small group, if we could just have the synthesizer play, and if everybody could just come up, even you guys can come down, and we can all take communion together as one family. So if you want to grab your elements. Yeah, are they downstairs? That'd be great. Couple guys to come up from the nursery. You know, we've had a kind of an eventful time with communion, I would say, over the last, what has it been, year and a half or so? 2 years maybe that we've been doing this. And I know that I have a completely different outlook on what communion means to me. You know, just until recently, I've started taking it with purpose and with meaning, and really, you know, what the Lord did for us on the cross, and went to that cross, and how he would have done it if it would have just been for me or just been for you, and what that truly meant for him to sacrifice his body and to spill his blood out for us. And that it covers my sins yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And no matter what, I'm received by him, I'm loved by him. No matter what I do or where I'm at or any situation that I may find myself in. And communion means so much more to me today than it did before. And I'm so grateful for that, and I love that. Still waiting on them to come up. I hope they make it. David, do you want to maybe share something about what communion might mean to you? That'd be, sorry to put you on the spot.
How can you say no? I know one thing since Pastor Mike's heart has been changed for towards communion and how he leads our house here. That's his cup has overflowed into mine. And it's really seeing this as more than just a time to remember. But, you know, like Stephen said, it cleans our sins. It makes us holy. It makes us righteous. But it also infuses his DNA in us. And his light shines through these elements. If this is his body, then this is him. And in that, we can see this and know that we're taking in a part of him, and in that we know that his blood cries mercy for us, and that blood is what we take into our body, and that mercy cries out of us, and his mercy is for us, so it fills us, and by us having that mercy in us, it actually allows us to give mercy and to be that example of what Jesus has done for us. And what better way to be able to reflect him than to take him in and to not only have him live in our hearts, but also change us in a, I don't even understand, a cellular, you know, way to have his DNA infuse in us and to really just have that, his another level of his life in us. And this is just so much more than, I mean, it's all by faith that we see this as his body and as his blood. And if we receive it in that way that it's meant to, and I don't know that we'll ever completely understand it, but that's something that we can continue to grow in and continue to understand and continue to seek him for more and more revelation of his body, of what that means for him, his body to be broken for us and for his blood to be shed out for us, and that his blood is still alive. His blood still cries mercy. His blood is still filling our cups. His blood is still something that we're able to drink in and to take and to just know that he is doing an even deeper work in us than we can even understand and realize.
So last week, we had the communion elements out. I'm going to tell you guys how much of a thief I am here. We're getting ready to leave, and these little prepackaged communion cups were sitting there. And I grabbed one for each of the members of my family on the way out the door. So, yes, it was me who stole all of them last week. So, just bearing my soul here. But I wanted to share with you guys how communion is an act of faith. And when you are experiencing pain in your physical body, the last couple weeks have been challenging for me because I've had pain that I never have had before that's been consistent day and night. It's affected my sleep. It's affected my work. It's affected my attitude. And I was sick the week before that. I was in bed for days. And last week, I was in a lot of pain. And one day, I got home from work, and I just said, you know what, honey, we need to take communion. And I went out, and I got those communion cups. And in that moment, I just knew. I knew what my circumstances were. I knew I was in physical pain. I knew there was nothing I could do about it. But I trust in the life of God, and I trust in the blood of Jesus. And when you're experiencing pain, when you're experiencing heartache, when you're experiencing any of the things that Jesus paid for, he bore our stripes, he bore our sin, he bore our shame, he bore all of our pain. And on the cross, he came here to destroy the works of the devil. So when we're celebrating here, this communion, this is no longer a religious duty, this is a celebration. Like Toby Mac says, right, there ain't no party like the Holy Ghost party. Well, every time we remember Jesus, that Holy Ghost, he comes in, right? He shows up, and he's there. He's our comforter. He's our healer. So I just say, guys, when you're in the middle of circumstances and you see your circumstances, this communion thing can no longer be written off as a religious duty or religious activity or something I'm supposed to do because Jesus said it is. It's an invitation from him. It's an invitation into faith. And it's a step, and it's saying, you know what? I see that my back hurts so much right now that I can't even get out of bed in the morning. I see that my hand hurts so much that I can't even pick up a ball and play with my kid. But you know what? I choose what God says. I choose his report. I choose the blood of Jesus. I choose the broken body of Jesus. And I believe in the life that flows from the throne. And I just say that I'm going to celebrate that. Yeah. So as we take these elements, guys, let's make it a celebration in a new way. And let's not do this anymore in the way that we've done it. Let's make this about a celebration of who Jesus is and what he's done for us.
Amen. Father God, I pray that, just like Glenn said, Father God, that as we take these elements, Father God, that it will be a celebration, Father God, of your life in us, Father God, of who you are inside of us, Father God, that this is truly taking your life on, Father God, your spirit, your body, your blood into us, Father God, and becoming who you are, Father God, and who you've created us to be, Father God. Lord, I pray a blessing over each one of us right now, Father God. I pray that you will touch each and every person that can hear your voice right now, Father God. God, that you will meet them in their need, Father God. You will meet them where they're at, Father God. God, as they receive this, Father God, that they will appropriate it, Father God, in a supernatural way, Father God. God, like they have never appropriated it before, Father God. We thank you for your blood, Father God, and we thank you for your body that you have sacrificially gave for us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the work that you did on the cross, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give a clap offering to Jesus. I like clap offerings. Hallelujah. I think I like clap offerings so much because when I was younger, I was a big old scaredy cat. And you want to lift that side up? And there was a guy in our church. His name was Bob Cousart. And if anybody know who Bob Cousard is, he was a funny dude. But I remembered somebody told me one time, and he said, whenever you feel scared, whenever you feel nervous, you just start clapping for Jesus. And I literally would clap for Jesus while I was laying in bed at night if I got nervous or scared or whatever. And that's something I've carried with me my whole life. So anyhow, we're going to send the kids down? Probably not. I think the kids can stay up. Unfortunately, I don't get to go play today. Darn it. Does anybody want to know what the score is? Too bad. All right, I'll tell you what it is.
Remember, be optimistic.
Be optimistic? Yeah, it's still the same. 0-3.
Really?
Minnesota. Yeah.
It's a tough game.
What, you don't believe me?
No,
I'm not.
Is it cold there?
How do you know? Are you watching it? Oh, where's your TV? Just curious. So anyhow, well, we got a good word today, and then we'll all race home and watch the last 5 minutes of the game, right?
Right.
Amen.
Maybe a very fast word.
Jesus. Could we call it good there? I don't know. That'd be kind of awkward. Let me grab the... Yeah, please. But, yes. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, we're good. David sent me a text. I didn't know about this, but Bill French is asking for prayer today. His face and jaw are an increasing amount of pain. And I don't know exactly why, but he had dental work done. Okay, I did not hear that. Okay, thank you for letting me know. So let's pray for Bill right now. Father, we just come before you and your throne of grace, Lord. We bring our brother Bill before you, Lord, and we just hold him in our heart right now, Lord. We hold him dear to us. And we just ask that you would just touch your son, Lord. He's obviously been going through pain, but it's increasing. So, Father, we pray that that you would touch him from heaven, Lord, with a healing hand. And, Lord, we pray that same thing for Glenn right now, Lord, that you would just go down his back with your power and just correct whatever issues are out of alignment, whatever things are causing this, Lord. We pray that you would just... allow, Lord, relief to come. Lord, pray, God, right now that you would just, at the same time I'm putting my hand on Glenn's back, that you would just touch the face of our brother Bill, Lord, and that we would see healing in our house, Lord, in our family, Lord. And we just stand in the gap for both brothers now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Glenn, did you have something to share, or was that what you had to share? That might have been it. Okay. Stephen coerced. He did? I didn't know he coerced you. I didn't see that. That was awesome communion. Thank you, guys. That was right from the heart of God. That was amazing. Everybody who shared and everyone who, as a family, as we participated together, that's not just juice and bread that we're eating, but it was communion. It was a family I guess for lack of engagement that we experience. So let's just all believe God for supernatural change. Let's see if I can remember. Now I dropped the verse that I was going to have. Help me, Lord. Maybe I'm not supposed to use that verse. Oh, yes. Proverbs. Now, I wasn't supposed to preach today, so extend some grace. Rowdy was going to preach. He's been asking for a long time, and he really battles with illness. I mean, you guys have probably noticed he's very weak. And he also has experienced over 1,000 kidney stones throughout his life. Yeah. And unfortunately, last night one hit him. And he goes, well, maybe it's just not time for this message. I said, either that or the enemy doesn't want you to give it. So, but he will give it, I'm sure, when everything comes together. Yes, this is it. Proverbs 14:12. Now, this is an interesting verse. And some would say, well, it's kind of a negative verse. And on the surface, it can be negative. It's, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And I tell myself this a lot, because this reminds me that there's basically situations, circumstances, pathways that I can go that on the surface look right to me. I think it says here that seems, that's an addition, that's not the actual Hebrew, but it's like what they need to say there is that it appears to be okay, appears to be right, but in the way is death. Now, obviously I've taken wrong paths before and I'm still here, so I believe that this could be, you know, a truth that you could actually go the wrong way. You think of somebody who's involved in criminal activity, you know, they hear a good story, hey, we're going to go, you know, do this thing and you'll get some money and, oh, well, it's extra money, it sounds good, you know, and they end up going and could be the way of death. But I want to approach this as the kind of death that brings a death of what God wants to do in you. Maybe not permanently, for a time, though, for a season. And I want to read this opposite. I want to think like a Hebrew for a moment. What they do is they think cyclical. You know, we're kind of from a Greek mentality. The Western culture is kind of Greek, and so we look at everything kind of linear. In other words, we A plus B is C, you know, if you like algebra. You know, how about 1 plus 1 equals 2? Well, but they start going, oh, yeah, well, 2 minus 1 is 1 again, and they'll kind of run with it. And so out of 1 plus 1 equals 2, they get a whole bunch of stuff because they look at it from all angles. So I want to do that with this verse for a moment. So it gives it a positive spin. There is a way that doesn't seem right to a man, but its end is the way of life. See, there can be ways, too, that we could walk in, and even when we're in the middle of it, it may not seem like it's right. May not seem like it's going the way that you anticipated it. And, you know, church has kind of turned out that way for me. Us as a body. I mean, it seems that when 5 years ago, almost six now, when the Lord put on my heart that he wanted me to be the senior pastor here, he did put a couple years before that kind of started stirring my heart, because before that, I didn't want to be a senior pastor. I'm just being honest. I did not want this job because I was happy being a support person. I was happy raising the arms of Pastor Ken and making sure that he was successful in what God called him to. But God started changing me and giving me a different view, giving me a different heart, really. He gave me a heart that desired, and to me, it was never a job. This was a service that I was going to be able to offer. It's never anything that I you know, grappled for. You know, this is not a position that I was trying to earn someday. This was something that I felt God wanted me to stand in. And when it started, I mean, you know, it was fantastic. I mean, it was great. I was, you know, doing what I felt the Lord called me to do, and he gave us specific words, gave me a specific word 3 years before that about, at the time, it made no sense. And I'm not going to share it here today. Maybe I'll share it to a few, because I've never really shared these specific words that the Lord gave me that have kind of been my, for lack of a better term, you know, guidepost. And then a month after we became senior pastor, Gabe gave us a word. She woke up at 2 in the morning, and it was no compromise. And there were 4 parts to the no compromise. And so that agreed with my heart. I didn't want to do anything that was just because, you know, it looked like it needed to be done. I wanted to make sure it's what the Lord wanted. And so that's kind of the whole journey that I've gone on. And, you know, I've brought messages at times that, you know, are exciting and, you know, everybody can get behind. Then I've also brought messages that challenge us, you know, and challenge myself. I've really taken you on a journey of my own life. I mean, every time I share, I'm probably sharing about where I'm at. right now, I can't even hardly do that because where I'm at, I can't even put into words. It's almost impossible to communicate where I'm at. So I try to give you little glimpses and little pieces. I say all that to say this is, even though towards the end it looks like maybe this way is not right, I can't go by that. You can't go by that. For your own personal life, if you're in a situation, in a circumstance that you know God has told you to do, daughter of the Lord, that has communicated to your heart that this is what I've called you to, no matter if the finances go away, you continue to stay in that place. Because even though the natural senses tell you opposite, it leads to life. It leads to His place where He wants you to be. And I believe it leads to ascension into who Christ wants us to be, like Him. And so, yeah, there's a way that seems right to us, and we can go in it, and it can end up becoming corruption. It can end up being something that ends up destroying what God wants to do in us. And I don't want that for any of us. I don't want that for myself. I don't want that for our family. I don't want that for our family here. And I really believe that these coming days are going to require serious discernment. And what discernment means is to be able to know what is right and what is wrong, to know what is truth and what is a lie, to know what is real and what is false, what's fake. Because there's going to be, you know, for lack of a better term, ways to be easily deceived in the future. And, you know, I can't get into all of that because each one of those would kind of be a message that some would probably look at me sideways. But if you start looking at what's going on in the world with the issues with ISIS, with the issues in our government, you know, with the politics, current politics, you start looking what's going on with the weather patterns, you can start to see things a certain way, and those could be what lead you. Those could be what make you decide ways, go certain directions, make certain decisions, and they could end up being a way of death to what God wants to do in you. It may be that the way that we need to go looks exactly opposite of the way that we think we should go, or the way that makes sense in the future. Is this making sense? In other words, what I'm saying is that we've got to make sure that we know by the Spirit what God's calling us to. That we know by His still small voice, and it's there all the time for us. Even though we may not hear it clearly, if we quiet ourselves, if we be still and know that He's God, we can hear Him. Even in all the noise of life. Because there's a lot of noise in life right now. I don't know about you guys, but pretty much you can keep every moment of your life entertained with some way or another. I mean, you can watch TV, you can get on your Facebook, you can check out, music. I mean, there's so much that we can create in our lives that creates noise that we can't hear. And if we can't hear Him, if we can't hear Him now, how can we truly be led by Him? And so then what we end up doing is if we're not led by Him, we lean on our own understanding because we don't have another option, right? If we don't hear from God, we're going to go by what we think we know. We're going to go by what we think we understand. And those ways can be the way of death. And then there can be a way that doesn't make sense, but you hear that in your heart, that's the way to go. This is who you are. This is who I've made you. This is how I've created you, son, daughter. And if you walk in this, even though it's not making sense in the natural, there will be life. There will be fulfillment. There will be joy. You'll come to an end of your days, and you can hear from Him, well done, good and faithful servant. Does that mean we're not going to make mistakes? No, we're always going to make mistakes. I wish that wasn't the case. And sometimes the mistakes that we make are, you know, somewhat detrimental to the walk for a while. Sometimes they have consequences. But I believe that God has a grace that we can get back on the right path, even when we make a mistake, that we don't have to continue in the way that leads to an end road that we are regretting or second-guessing or, you know, feeling that, you know, we've let God and everyone else down. So as for me, for 2016, what I want to do is to know what way to walk in, know how to walk for my life, for my family's life, for us as a body, for me as a believer. I want to know how to walk. And it's not always easy. I wish you could say it's easy. I wish you could say that, you know, following the Lord is a piece of cake. But it's not. Because we have an enemy of our soul that is constantly trying to trip us up, constantly try to keep us from getting on the right path. Speaking of that path, there's a verse, let me read it here. I think it's in Luke. Yeah, Luke 13:24. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter it and will not be able to. Luke 13:24. And 13:24, and then Luke 7:13-14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Wide is the way and broad. I would say that is the way that is seeming right to men. That is a way that's seeming that it's good, and that, you know, I don't think anybody in their right mind says, I'm going to do something that in the end will bring death. Not in their right mind. I mean, maybe somebody, if they're out of their mind, they're insane. But I'm believing that most people who are thinking they're walking the right path and are on that wide road don't really know it. I didn't know it before I knew the Lord. I didn't know I was on a path that led to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. There it is right there. Difficult is the way. Right there, it spells it out for us. This way to life is a difficult way. But it's possible. But it takes striving. I was just talking with Vicky before the service, and she was saying how sometimes, you know, old nature kicks up, you know, when you don't want it to. That you know, you're doing everything you can to try to, and myself including, we're trying to do things to glorify the Lord and to be this new creation that He's made us. All of a sudden, something will happen, and then sure enough, we just go right back into our old ways. And the only way that you keep from doing that is purposing in your heart to stay in Christ. You realize you have to do that? You have to purpose in your heart to stay in Christ. It doesn't come naturally. You got a verse to add. I see you starting to roll. You can't just go through life and stay in Him. You have to purpose to stay in Him. And that means you've got to sing songs in your heart. You've got to talk to Him during the day. You've got to commune with God. You've got to, you know, do whatever it takes for you to remember that He's yours and you are His. Because otherwise, when an opportunity comes up, that old Mr. Nasty nature kicks in. I know that's a little off the sidetrack, but the way is difficult. It says there were going to be tribulations, there were going to be trials. You know, I've heard one person say many years ago, He's never promised us a rose garden. It was a song, you know, but Delta Dawn, yeah, whatever. But I mean, it's, you know, He never promised us, you know, just a bed of roses. He never promised us easiness. He did promise us eternal life, and He did promise us a life abundantly. But the way can sometimes be seem impassable. But he can make a way where there did not seem to be a way previous. I was trying to find that verse. It could be that you're walking and you've hit a roadblock. You've hit a brick wall. You've hit a mountain and you can't go through it. You know what? He can. He can. Or he'll help you get over it. Or go under it. Or how about this? Just walk right through it and not even create a hole for you, but you're on the other side. He can do that. If it's his way, if we're in the way of life. So I'm going to let Glenn come up. He's going to go ahead and, you're going to make everything make sense, right?
I'm going to land this thing. Pastor Mike just took us to the moon, and now we're going to start walking on it. I didn't mean that disrespectfully at all. So we're going to go back to 2 Kings. Kind of strange here. We're 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, if you guys know the book of 2 Kings, it's pretty amazing. It tells most of the story of Elisha the prophet, who came after Elijah the prophet. And basically, at this point in the story, 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha has a school of prophets. A school like a school of fish. Like there's some homies that he hangs out with and he's training them up in the ways to take over for him one day, much like Elijah trained Elisha to take over. That happened in 2 Kings chapter 2. That was a whirlwind. Ooh, literally. But 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a story. This school of prophets, they come up to Elisha one day and they say, "Dude, our house is too small. There's not enough room for us to live with you here." So verse 1 starts, "And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, 'See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell.'" So these guys are looking for a bigger crib. "So he answered, 'Go.' Then one said, 'Please consent to go with your servants.'" So they asked him to come with them. "And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting a tree, the iron axe head fell off into the water. And he cried out and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' So the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there. And he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, 'Pick it up for yourself.' So he reached out his hand and took it." Now, I realize this doesn't seem like we're going anywhere. But these guys' mission was to cut down trees. And it was, they're cutting down trees because they're going to build a house. They're going to build a place where a family happens. They're going to build a place where they can grow, raise other people up. And some of us are like this man who we're sitting there and we're using our talents. We're doing exactly what God told us to do. And then all of a sudden our axe head flies off. That very thing that was sustaining us, that was helping us get things done, is now gone. And there's two groups of us here. One group of us knows the axe head fell off, and we know where it fell, and we haven't called out to God. We haven't said, "Hey, how do I get this axe head back on? How do I get my sustainability back? How do I get that endurance back? How do I get that life back?" And then there's another group of us who don't know that the axe head fell off, and we're still swinging. We're still trying to go somewhere that God's called us to, but we're not going with him. We're not using his tools. We haven't called out to him. We're just still stuck there beating the axe head, right? Or what should be an axe head. We're just swinging the stick. So I don't know which group any of us belong to. I know I feel like I've lost some luster, per se, or I've lost that edge. Does anyone else feel like they've lost an edge to some degree? Either they've lost that cutting edge that very thing that keeps them sharp, that keeps them going, that keeps them moving forward quickly. Because the sharper your axe head, the easier it is to knock down the trees, right? The easier it is to build something. The easier it is to bring people under your wing because you're chomping away. They have somebody to follow because you're there slaying giants. You're there cutting down trees. Well, those of us, you know, I'm including myself in this. When you don't have that sharp axe head, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. You work, you know, if you have a good work mentality, you're going to keep working. You're just not going to get hardly anything done. And it's going to feel draining. And it's going to cause depression to set in because you're going to keep toiling. You're going to keep working because that's the way that leads to life, right? Because there's a way that seems right to a man. And I was raised up. I was raised up to be a hard worker. I was raised up to do these things. Well, there's only one way that we're going to get that sharp edge back. Whether you lost it and you know it, or whether you lost it and you don't know it. So let's go back here to verse 6. He says, "So the man of God said, where did it fall?" The first thing you need to do is you need to look back at your life. You need to figure out, where did I start losing my edge? And you need to ask the Lord, where did I start losing my edge? Where did that happen? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and he threw it in there and he made the iron float. Now, this is the part of the story that makes no sense to me. How do you throw a stick in the water and it makes iron float? And can anyone do that? But God can. God is the only one that's going to be able to restore this edge, this sharpness. He's the only one that's going to show us the path, and he's the one that's going to equip us with the tools that we need to get there. So like Pastor Mike's saying, there's a wide path, and many are on it. Sometimes I'm on that path. I'm not going that way, but I'll take a step over there occasionally, because sometimes what other people are saying on Twitter is more interesting to me than what the Lord wants to speak to me in the moment. And sometimes a bunch of random butt pictures on Instagram are more interesting than getting in the Word of God. And that wide path, I'm not just trashing on social media. I'm not trashing on technology because I think it's used for amazing purposes. But when that's the path that you're on, when that's the very thing that's captured your heart, the thing that's captured your attention, you're losing your edge. So if you guys would stand up, I feel like there's a response that needs to take place in our hearts. And I want you guys to ask the Lord, think about those groups. I don't know if you've lost your edge and you know where it lays, or you've lost your edge and it took a while to figure out, hey, I'm still working this thing and it's not working for me. Could someone play some light music? Or David, I don't know if we got some piano. Light. Stevie Wonder or something. Ray Charles, I don't know. Kenny G. Elisha's final instructions here to this servant were, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out and took it in his hand. Reached out his hand and took it. Now, we know who God is. We know he's the God that restores. He's the one who has the ability to give life and the one who has the ability to take it away. And for all who have called on his name, there's salvation. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And there's an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy every plan that God has for your life. And part of that is taking your edge away. Part of it is, it's not just dulling it, but it's removing it. But God, this morning, he wants to restore that edge. So if you guys would just open up your hearts to the Lord for a minute here. You just say, Father, come in this place. Fill these hearts to overflowing, God. Restore what's been taken. Restore what's been stolen. And Father, we pray that you restore that cutting edge. We just pray that you come with your sharpening stone and that you would sharpen the ones who have lost their edge. Whether it's been caused by circumstances or whether it was caused by them giving up, whether they just dropped it in the water, God, I just pray that you would make it within our grasp, Father, and that you would reveal to us the way to get that edge back. Father, we know there's a way that seems right to a man, but we also know that there's a plan that you have for our life, and that's a plan for us to prosper. That's a plan for our good. That's a plan that all circumstances, no matter what they look like, are for our good and for your glory. And we just say, Father, restore the edge. Give us our edge back. Give us our boldness back. Give us that courage that we need to take you out into the marketplace with us. We just ask, Father, like in 1 Corinthians 13, if we do anything apart from love, it's meaningless. And Father, I just pray that you bring the reality of that into our heart with every action that we take. And you just give us that discernment whether what we're doing is producing love inside of us and around us. And Father, we know that that love is the sharpness that we need. Love for others, love for our family. And we just ask, Father, that you direct our steps each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Go Seahawks. Russell Wilson threw an interception. Just kidding.
It's the same.
That was prophetic. No, I'm just kidding. Steven told me. Yes.